This Deadly Choices Radio podcast is sponsored by Deadly Choices. A deadly choice is a healthy choice.
You're tuned to Deadly Choices Radio with your host, Sinead Clements.
Which way you mob? You're listening to Deadly Choices Radio on 98.9 for the best country. And I'm your girl, Sinead Clements. I'm a proud Kalkadoon Burra and Jitterbal woman from far north Queensland. And before we go ahead today, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land of which we're broadcasting from today and pay my respects to elders both past, present and emerging. So welcome to the Deadly Choices Radio, our hourly show dedicated towards mob making deadly choices. Remember, making deadly choices is all about eating healthy, remaining active in both body, mind and spirit, ensuring you keep up to date with your 715 health checks, resisting any temptations to take up smoking or taking the right steps to quit smoking for you and your mob. So in the studio today, we have a few special ladies joining us from, we have Christy Watergo from the Birthing in Our Community Manager. We also have Sam Pope, who's a Birthing in Our Community Manager from Northside. So welcome, ladies.
Morning.
And later on today, we'll also have another deadly sister, Bodella Cruz, one of our Deadly Choices ambassadors. And we'll hear from Dr. Richard Mills from the IUIH. He's a deadly doctor who's given us an awesome update about COVID-19 and the vaccine rollout and things like that. So, ladies, Christy, your mob, where you're from, and what your role is within IUIH.
Yeah, good morning. Christy Watergo is my name. I'm a proud Bundjalung woman. I'm living in Logan, raising my three beautiful boys. My role here at IUE is the Early Childhood Services Manager. I'm proud to be supporting the BIOP programs on the south and north side and also the ANFPP programs north and south.
Sam?
Yeah, hi. So I'm Sam Pope. I'm a Jero and South Sea Island woman, originally from Bowen in North Queensland. Live in Tagum these days, been here for about 6 years, and I have two beautiful children, and I am the Birthing in Our Community North Side Program Manager.
Yeah, so 2020 was interesting for everyone. Mm-hmm. Sam, what was, I guess, your biggest learning, and what was 2020 like for you?
2020 was, oh wow, it was a year filled with uncertainty at first, but I guess it was also a year that just really reinforced my, just how proud I am, I guess, to be working in this sector and for the organisation that I do, because the response that we had in really relieving that anxiety and that stress was immediate and ongoing, and it's still to this day. We're still getting really constant support and systems in place, and yeah, so I guess I just felt really blessed for 2020. It really reminded me about what was important and about how proud I am to be in this environment, in this organisation, in this community.
Yeah, so International Women's Day. Christy, what did you get up to for International Women's Day?
Yeah, I had a beautiful International Women's Day. We went down Manly Way with all of my family to come together as strong Watergo women and to celebrate our incredible community of women and to also acknowledge those family members that are currently struggling with breast cancer and also chronic disease. So it was nice just to, as a collective, to come together to hold each other in, and be in each other's space and just be reminded of who's walked before us and how do we continue to carry each other moving forward.
Absolutely. I love that. And Sam?
A lot of my family are back home, so I am fortunate though to work with an amazing group of women and clients and family. So we had a week of International Women's Day, really. It started on the Sunday and yeah, just a whole heap of events really celebrating women and their strengths and you know, the challenges that they've overcome. Yeah, it was really good. It was amazing.
Yeah, I feel like you guys live International Women's Day every day in the work you guys do.
Absolutely do. Absolutely.
Definitely.
Fun time. All right. So now, Christy, tell me what's a day-to-day kind of, I know no day is probably the same for you, but tell me a little bit about what you do.
So here at the Institute, I work with four amazing programs and, of course, you know, a workforce of women where we come together as a collective group to build these programs to support our families, more so from a social and emotional well-being and really focusing on their spiritual well-being so that they can be and build a strong, you know, family. So, yeah.
Absolutely. I think I always describe what you guys do as breaking the cycle. And in, you know, I think 2020, we realised how important our mental and spiritual well-being was. And for me, that comes before your physical well-being. I think that that's the first step in towards, you know, and you bring a new life into the world. So you lucky women get to see that every day. And whenever I come to the hub at Salisbury, the Mums and Bubs hub, it's always a fun experience for me. Sam, what does your day look like on the north side?
On the north side, yeah. So the buy-up program that's over at Salisbury there, sort of towards the end of last year and officially this year, we've brought the program over to the north side, so into the Morton-Atsix region. So day-to-day at the moment is really just about setting that program up and recruiting that team. And we've started working with a few families in the region. And that's with the same model, so with some midwives and some family support workers, and just really focusing on the social, like Sir Christy was saying, the social and emotional well-being of those families, and building them up ready to be deadly strong families.
Now, I know a lot of the, you know, your clients or community members that, you know, you work with the mums a lot, but you've both mentioned families. So, you know, what is that idea that holistic care? We always talk about holistic care, but I think you guys do it best when, you know, you talk about families, and it's not just takes a village to raise raise our jardrums, but it's not just mum or dad, it's the whole family, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The wellness comes from the family unit, you know, and birth is a sacred time, and it is the creation of that family unit. So it's so important that we do embrace everyone that's involved with that community, whether it is aunt or sister or second or third cousin, whatever. We don't roll like that. It's all family, you know. So, you know, our brothers are definitely involved and encouraged to be a part of this process, because they are ultimately the unit that creates this family. So, yeah, it's a big focus for us across all of our programs, and we encourage our dads to participate and, you know, really step forward and lean in and enjoy this family connection.
Yeah, and Sam, how does one, whoever's listening out there, you know, if you're just tuning in, just jumping into the car and tuning in to 98.9, I'm having a yarn to Christy Watego and Sam Pope. We're talking about birthing and early childhood, what we do around birthing and early childhood here at the Institute for Urban Indigenous Health. Now, how, if there's any mums or nanas, aunties, brothers, cousins listening in, how do you kind of refer your pregnant women to the program?
So I can speak to the north side. So on the north side, any families can go to a Morton-Atsix clinic and see their GP. And when they get that awesome news that they are pregnant, the GP will send us through a referral, and we will contact the family and start our journey there.
Yeah.
And with the south side, it's a partnership with the MARTA and obviously AICS as well. So any mother that is birthing an Indigenous baby at the MARTA hospital comes onto our program. So if you do want to be a part of that program, by all means, engage, get your GP to send your referral through to the MARTA hospital, and one of our family support workers will give you a bell and, you know, first and foremost, congratulate you on your pregnancy and welcome you into the program.
And I think the biggest difference is that just cultural foundation of what you guys, you know, there's a lot of Indigenous women in your teams and providing that safe place. You know, we understand our own trauma and history, and there's a safe place for to share your information and share your personal story, right?
Absolutely. That's so important to the whole program, and that's why we're doing what we're doing. Is, like you mentioned before, sis, it's not just about our clinical care, it's about our spiritual and our social and emotional well-being. And, you know, our families get to come into the hub where they can seek that additional support around whatever is actually happening in their lives that's, you know, distracting them, or, you know, having them focus on something else other than the well-being of one's body and one's, you know, true health. So we help our families really nut down what that looks like and build a plan to overcome some of those challenges that we all have in life.
Absolutely.
And that's the beauty about the hub, is that, you know, everyone's walked that path. Everyone knows what it's like, and no one family is the same, but we're there to be able to support them on the journey that they are ready to take, and when they're ready to take it. And then as a result of, you know, those social determinants overcome, we can then focus on being a healthier mama that's, you know, the vessel of that carries that baby to hopefully full term, and then gives baby the best start to life.
You know, I think that analogy with the plane and putting your own mask on before you can help anyone else is so important. Sam, what do you see the biggest improvements in mums? You know, I know you guys link up services. There's so many services that you have on offer and programs for mum to kind of delve into their parent, you know, the way they were parented and the way they want to be parents. What are the, you know, I came to your graduation the other week and just to see the mums crying and just to see how much the pride and the gratitude of the program and of the staff that have helped them out during a important, such a special moment in their lives. What is the biggest changes you see in the mums?
Yeah, I see women who come out who can identify and acknowledge their strength, can advocate for themselves, can build upon their family, build the strengths in their family and their friends. And then you see it in community. You see them supporting their friends and their families. And then, you know, and I think that's what you were saying before about breaking the cycle. That's how we do it, you know. So I think that's what we see the most out of the women is just that growth. And not even just the women, the families as a whole, as a unit. You know, you said at the graduation, everyone was crying, we're crying. It's the same before. I've never cried so much in my life.
But definitely dad, Tim, the other day, you know, it was awesome to see this dad come in and just seek support. And it's his first baby and he's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to expect.
Wow.
But providing that space for him to be so vulnerable and go, hey, what am I doing?
Yeah.
You know, is just such a privilege and an honour to be able to help him on his journey of understanding what to do, you know, because he's just as scared through, you know, expecting this family unit and there's so much that's sitting on his shoulders, and for him to be able to seek out that support so he can be the best dad that he can be is incredible.
Yeah, I think as I get older, you know, I see the disparities between, you know, our men and our women and our community and that divisiveness. But something like this, has having dads come forward and say, no, I want to reset the expectations of what it means to be a dad, to be a dad within our community, to be a dad to an Indigenous baby and how important that is. It's been amazing. I think, you know, go check our DC Father's Day podcast, and we had some really special men on there talking about being dads and how important that is to them. I think that's amazing to have dads just show their vulnerable side, right? Yeah. And I see them at the community days from time to time, and seeing them take out the time of their day to spend those special moments with their children and their babies while they're young.
Yeah, it's great to see that, you know, mum doesn't have to do this on her own, you know, and that she can lean on her partner for that support. And if it's not her partner, it's her mother, it's her sister, whoever that unit actually looks like. It's so good to see that it grows, and that we also empower mum to be able to say, I need help. I can't do this on my own. I don't know what I'm doing.
Takes two to tango, right?
Absolutely.
That's why you need two to have a bub.
Absolutely.
I just think, you know, go check out our Deadly Mums app too, because some really great content in there about how you can provide as a dad some safe places for your partner. And I think one of the things that I've read in research is that dads don't feel like they're helpful sometimes because, you know, they're not carrying bub, but they can do so many other things to provide a really beautiful environment for mum and the family to flourish.
Absolutely.
Massages are always welcome.
Even when you're not pregnant. So I guess what can Mob do to join the program? And I guess we were talking about Circle of Security not long ago as well. And tell me what the program offers to mums like that when they've had bub and they're, you know, it's a new baby, it's a new life. I can't imagine how nerve-wracking it is to keep this little baby, you know, live and kicking. So what does services and, I guess, modules like Circle of Security do for mum and the baby?
Yeah, so Circle of Security is a program that we run, and it's over 8-week period and it's 2 hours per session. But it just gives mum the opportunity to perhaps reflect over not just mum but dad and that family unit to reflect over how they were parented and to make a conscious effort to choose to parent in a different way. It also allows our families to understand baby's cues, you know, and reading those cues, because obviously bub can't communicate effectively through speech, but they communicate through their body language, through their movements, through so many different ways. And it's really important that we learn how to communicate with baby as they're, you know, newborns sitting in front of us and as they grow. So Circle of Security really allows our families to strengthen their understanding of how to respond to baby's needs.
Yeah, it's funny when you say communicating, because I think historically, you know, I was talking to Nan, and growing up on Palm, they weren't allowed to, she wasn't even allowed to be too near to older women talking, in case of learning language, and breaking down that barrier was huge. So Mob found other ways through body language to communicate with each other. So that's embedded in our history and our culture and everything like that. And it's just taking a new form, reshaping it in a modern day. So, you know, we talk about the program and how special it is. And if you're just tuning in, we're talking about birthing in our community and how important and what the results were. So we've got a media release out and about with IUIH and, you know, an extraordinary outcome. Indigenous leaders, doctors call for an expansion of this program because you guys have been reducing premature birth rates by 50%. How incredible is that?
It's a massive, massive result for the team and for our community more so. That the impact that it has on our long-term health and in support of Close the Gap is significant. So we're really proud that, you know, birthing in our community is leading the way with this. And it's such a successful program of 50%. Why would you not bring this up and lift it up and spread it across Australia, not just within Southeast Queensland? This is a must for all community members across Australia.
And I just think there's, you know, we talk about 715 health checks and about preventative health. But what's the best form of preventative health is looking after bub while they're still in the womb, right? So, you know, you're less likely to need a cesarean delivery. And there's a few other elements there that that are impacted by this 50% premature. Can you tell me a bit about that?
Yeah, it's around reducing childhood mortality, experiencing disability, developing chronic disease later in life. So that could be around kidney disease, diabetes, etc., and also minimizing heart disease. So it's made a massive impact on that health further down the track, where we're going to see healthier families grow as a result of this program. Mm.
And in line with Close the Gap too, you know, I think we're lined up pretty directly with Close the Gap, because as we mentioned before, we're here breaking cycles. And you know how important, Sam, as well, to see having staff members who are Indigenous, who have that background and that experience, you know, and hearing our Indigenous voices and making sure that they're at decision-making levels for our community and in programs like this to break cycles. Because, you know, I feel like growing up, Nan would say our doctor was your grandmother. You know, our doctor, we learned everything from our mums, our grandmothers, and that's the information where it was passed down. So how important is there for sisters being there for other sisters?
So important. You know, it's very new on the north side at the moment, but I think, like, even looking at Salisbury, where the leaders there at the moment are women who went through the program, you know, just seeing that journey, that's amazing, you know, and that's how we get those leaders of tomorrow and today even, is by growing them and supporting them, you know. Yeah, it's really important to continue having that, because not only are they doing this program, but they're also, you know, empowering their next generation and supporting, you know, the next generation coming through. And, you know, that's how we break those cycles, is continuing to strengthen the women of today.
Yeah, and I think it's funny, there's so much that goes on in it, but the bottom line is just empowering mums to be the best version of themselves, because they've all got it within them, right?
Yep, absolutely. Every one of us want that. We want to be the absolute best that we can be for our babies, absolutely. But it's just about, you know, letting mum know that she is worthy of that, that she has every right to stand up and be heard and to do what she needs to do for her family unit.
Yeah, I think when you become mum, there's this superpower that there's this invisible cape that gets on gets placed on your back, and you got a newfound purpose to take it on. And I remember I was 12, and I remember the moment mum told me she was pregnant. I remember the moment I had to run to KFC to get her that that burger combo before she got rushed off to Townsville. I was 12. I was running through the back streets. It was a bit dark. I remember the moment where I met my little brother, and I think those moments just kind of create a new version of you.
Yep, absolutely.
And it's so special that we have, you know, and a lot of sometimes down here in the city, I know I don't have a lot of family here close like you, Sam, and you guys make families within these hubs, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The sense of connection and the connectedness that actually does occur is so powerful. I always go back to a session that we had many years ago, and this happens all the time on our community days, but this was so touching, where we had a family and a mother in particular that just had lost her mum, and we had some elders in on that day, and it was just our usual casual lunch over some quick, you know, healthy tucker, and this mother and this elder connected, and what this mother ended up finding was a new connection and a new auntie that was local to her that really helped her, like we all do, through her healing journey of losing her mother, and also not feeling the guilt of celebrating the birth of her baby because her mother wasn't present. And why should she be happy when her baby's born? Because she's just lost her mother. Well, you know, don't own that guilt, you know, and having these two come together and connect and stay connected for so many years now is what the program actually does deliver. It is about community connectedness. We cannot do this without each other. Yeah. And that's what a clinical program cannot offer.
You know? Exactly.
Yeah.
I think that's special. Those two monumental moments in one person's life coming together, like both very sad and very happy, like, and you guys, BIOC was in the middle there and you got to balance it out for her.
Absolutely, yeah.
Get to witness it. It's so amazing.
It is. Yeah. It is. And that mother's journey, she came on to have another baby with us, a little girl, you know, not too long ago, and she's now just joined our team as a family support worker.
Wow.
So it's just that cycle of giving, you know, and she just adores the program as a mother, and her husband, he's there staunchly, Dan, by her side all the time. It's beautiful. And now for her to join our team and to, you know, just loop back and share that love with our community is so powerful.
You know, I'd love to see this program in every community in Australia. I know my cousins, my sisters and all that, they would, you know, it would just mean the world to me to see this, like, everywhere, and especially our small communities that, you know, they have to travel so far and wide to get those necessities. But, you know, check out our YouTube account too, our Facebook pages, and if you have someone who you think might utilise or benefit from this program, you can give a call to 07-3274-5700 and ask the questions, ask your local GP if you can get connected to the programs, and thanks for coming in, ladies, and having a yarn to me today. I really, really appreciate it.
Hi, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll have to get you back sometime soon and continue talking about, you know, all the bubs that are born. I always see them up on the walls. I know they're so celebrated. I check out there's always cheeky ones born on my birthday, 6th of June. They're like poking their tongue out or something. All right, ladies, just before I let you guys go, Christy, what is your deadly choice right now?
Oh, talking about connections today, I think my deadly choice is to go and connect with my beautiful mama.
Yes, I love that. And Sam, your deadly choice?
I'm going to drink more water this week. I'm real terrible. You can see my mouth all dry from talking on the radio. But, I've been trying to focus this month on just drinking more water and keeping that front of mind, I guess, because it's just something that you just forget throughout the day when you're working, you're on the run.
Absolutely. I think, especially when it's raining outside, I always find I rug up and drink less water and more cup of teas, more coffees.
Yes.
So it's still important we get that water, that H2O in our body. But thank you, ladies, for coming on and having a chat with me today. It was an awesome yarn, and can't wait to have you guys back.
Deadly.
Thank you.
You're listening to Deadly Choices Radio on 98.9 FM. With your host, Sinead Clements.
Love 98.9 FM? Just go to 98.9fm.com.au/store and check out 98.9 FM and Second Rodeo's online merch store. So come check out 98.9 FM and Second Rodeo's online merch store, and you can own a little piece of 98.9 FM.
Which way, you mob? The new 2021 Deadly Choices Health Check shirts are available in clinics. And they are proper deadly. All you need to do is book in and complete your 715 health check at your local participating clinic, and you will be styling up in your very own Deadly Choices shirt. Regular health checks are important. They help to prevent chronic disease and reduce the impact on any health conditions you may have. Remember, prevention is better than cure. Make a 715 health check your deadly choice today. To find your nearest clinic, visit www.deadlychoices.com.au.
A message from the Institute of Urban Indigenous Health.
Station sponsor. The team at Gaia Jui know that COVID-19 has impacted our daily lives. We have done well compared to many other countries. The great news is COVID-19 vaccines are on their way. If you're worried about the vaccine or if you have questions or concerns, the Commonwealth Department of Health will be providing all the information that you need on how to get access to a vaccine, when we will start getting them, and will they be safe. Don't let COVID-19 get you down. If you feel sad or worried, contact your local health clinic or your GP. For more information on vaccines, go to health.gov.au/COVID-19 vaccines. This is the most accurate and regularly updated information. Information provided by Gaia Jui, Proud Spirit Australia, station sponsor.
Every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m., it is The Brekkie Show with myself, Tariana Olive.
And the other half, JYY, Gerard Yao Yee.
The crazy half.
No, the better half.
I don't know. For all the best music.
Yep, we got the best interviews as well.
And some sport, Gerald.
Oh, love me some sport.
We know.
And coffee.
And coffee.
So we're getting you to work every single day, Monday to Friday. We got from 6 to 9 every single day, Monday to Friday.
With Tariana Olive and Gerald Yayi.
Yeah, that's me. I can say my name.
You're tuned to Deadly Choices Radio. With your host, Sinead Clements.
All right, now you're tuning in to Deadly Choices Radio. And we've got Dr. Richard Mills from the Institute for Urban Indigenous Health, who comes on from time to time to provide us with a weekly update on COVID-19. Hi, Dr. Richard, how are you going?
Yeah, good morning, Sinead. Thanks very much for having me back on.
No, we love having you back on. So tell us, you know, we're in closer to having the vaccine rolled out.
Yeah, so big news this week is that the vaccine rollout is starting here in Southeast Queensland. And we're beginning with the priority groups, but one of the important messages to get across today is that Aboriginal community-controlled health services have been given discretion to roll a vaccine in the way that will suit their community and their services. So the message is probably slightly different to the national message, in that if you're over 18, you're Aboriginal, Torres Strait Islander, or both, and you're ready to receive your vaccine, then we will have a vaccine available for you in your local community-controlled health service. So we've still got those priority groups, but vaccination is open to everyone over 18 if you're ready to come forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And definitely if you're around any of your elders, I think it's important that we think about them during this time. And if we have any questions, particularly if our elders are nervous or, you know, the community's got any concerns, where's the best place to go get some information and, you know, the correct information?
Well, I guess the DC radio, of course, and the DC website. I know some of the GPs around the region have been visiting the elders and particularly the respite centres, talking to the elders there and helping them with their decision-making. Although I've done a couple of those meetings and I think the elders are all really on board with the importance of the vaccine and they've already made their plans. One of the things that I've been saying to them is if you've already got an appointment with your local health service, if you're already planning to come for your health check or you've got a scheduled appointment, you will be offered the vaccine as part of that regular visit that you have. So you don't need to make any additional arrangements to get your vaccine if you're a regular visitor. If you're not a regular visitor or if you haven't got an appointment lined up, then there's a number of different options for you. You can either ring your local Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Service clinic and book an appointment through them. And we also have our four just GP respiratory clinics around the region. So one at Caboolture, one at Logan, Woodridge. We've got one over in Bouval and then one down in Narang. And they will also be offering vaccinations there. It'll be on a slightly larger scale than your local clinic, and so they'll probably be the easiest places for people who have made up their minds, who are able-bodied and willing to travel. Those will be the easiest places for you to get your vaccination. The details are on the DC website, or as I said, you can phone your local clinic and they should be able to help you book an appointment at one of those, what we're going to call them, vaccination hubs. So they're going to be centres where you will be doing vaccination on a larger scale than in those local clinics.
Yeah, and I think it's so important right now to just think of that community, collective, you know, an obligation to that herd community immunisation. So, you know, I've just checked out Anastasia's Facebook page. We have zero cases at the moment in Queensland, and it's, you know, we've been doing really well. I looked up at the shopping centre the other day and I was like, you know, it's pretty good not to have to struggle to breathe through those masks as opposed to many other communities throughout the world. How important it is for us to continue to keep getting tested right now?
Yeah, that's a really good point, Janae. Yeah, make sure that, you know, if you are out and about, that you're not going out with any symptoms, so cough, fever, runny nose, any of those symptoms, don't go out mixing. We know there's no, or we believe there's no COVID out in the community at the moment, and we want to keep it that way. So we want to restrict people's movements if they have symptoms. And, of course, come forward and get tested. So there's lots of different ways of getting tested now, including the afternoon sessions that are going to be running in our GP respiratory clinic. So the mornings will be vaccination and the afternoons will be those testing sessions. You can get your test there if you have symptoms. And it's really important, if you do have symptoms, to come forward and get tested still. The only way we can be sure there isn't any COVID in the community is actually to test lots of people.
Absolutely. And remember, you mob, you can keep up to date with all the COVID vaccine rollout information on our Deadly Choices Facebook page, our website, at the Queensland Health website. But the best point is to go to your local GP. They know you best, and there's no point in sitting at home being scared or shame. So get in there and give them a call and just have that conversation. Well, thank you for having a yarn today with us, Dr. Mills.
Thanks very much for having me.
Have a good one.
Look forward to reporting back how the vaccine rollout is going.
Yeah, exciting times, right?
Very.
Hi, it's Petro Sivanasivi here, Deadly Choices Ambassador, and you're listening to DC Radio on 98.9 FM.
Your mob, you're back with it on Deadly Choices Radio, and I've got my titter here, Bodella Cruz, one of our awesome Deadly Choices Ambassadors, coming on to have a yarn. How you going, Bodella?
I'm good, sister. I'm good. Getting through this rain, but it's all been good.
Yeah, a bit struggle street in this rain to get out of bed. It's so cold, you just want to rug up and watch a bit of Netflix, eh?
100%.
Now, we had Christy Watergo and Sam Pope, who belong to the Birthing in Our Community program and the ANFPP program on the north side. Now, you were a Birthing in Our Community mum on the program as well, hey?
Yes, sir. So in 2017-2018, when I had my daughter in 2018 in June, I went through the BIOC program out there at Salisbury. And honestly, out of my three children... all three children, I went private with my first two and then BIOC with Lila Girl, and the best program that I was involved in with all three children. So I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, well, you know, they talk a lot about empowering mums to just be the best versions of themselves. Now, you've always been healthy and into sports. What was it like to have that kind of sense of community as well?
Oh, it was deadly. It felt like a no judgment type of, you know, when you walk through the doors, it's culturally appropriate straight away. You're around mob, you know, obviously the midwives and the doctors and whoever else you see are always considering everything, you know what I mean? When it comes down right from, you know, culture straight right through to, you know, being a working mum still. And all that's taken into consideration. You know, they're very calm over there at BIOC. But like I said, there's no judgment, which, you know, and there's no, you don't feel that sense of forcing. Like they're not forcing everything on you in terms of, you know, sometimes you get, when you are going through other programs, mainstream programs, you know, the forcing of breastfeeding or, you know, all that type of stuff. We always know breast is best, but sometimes it's just not for every mum, you know, and you don't feel a sense of that. It's always what the mum, what's good for the mum and what's good for the baby. And they're really, well at doing that. They're the best at doing that. And I love the program, sis. It was so good. You know, they worked around me. I was working over at the Broncos at the time, and you know, and we just had the new facility built there at the Bronx, and I had my midwife come out to see me because I just struggled to make it out to Salisbury on some occasions. So you know, they would work around me. You know, my midwife was, poor thing, bless her, she was nearly my on-call 24/7 midwife. But you know what? It was the most amazing experience for any mother or father that's going through, you know, pregnancy and or their partner being pregnant. You know, BIOC is definitely the way to go.
Yeah, I 100%. I'm lucky enough to go out to the Salisbury Clinic from time to time and check out their community days, and it's just a sense of like ease and peacefulness when you go out there, and fun, and there's no judgment, there's no shame. And I think, you know, in a historical context, that there's been a lot of shame placed in our communities, but in this environment, it just, all the walls are down, and everyone wants to just be the best version, the best mom, the best dad they can, and utilizing mob, helping other mob too, and nothing is more culturally appropriate than that, right?
100%, sis. Like, there is, you know yourself, like, through life these days, there's so many pressures. Everybody's busy. It's a busy time of life. And having three children and, you know, and a husband, and obviously, you know, working at, you know, and doing a lot of my community engagement, which I love doing. You know, I'm always busy. I'm a super, super busy person on top of, you know, like obviously with work, but then, you know, my kids are starting to get into sport where, you know, all my afternoons are either taken up or, you know, I'm ensuring that they're getting to school every day and doing the right thing by them. You know, they're my number one, they're my first priority. So, you know, I'm trying to be the best version of what a parent is, you know, that I can be. With all the pressures that I have on me in terms of, you know, work, sport, my kids, you know, community, you know, I'm being an ambassador for Deadly Choices. You're on call nearly 24/7. You're out in the community, so you're always, people are always watching you. They're always looking at what you're doing and things like that. So there is a lot of pressure when it comes to that, but it's my lifestyle. It's a lifestyle I choose. You know, I prefer my kids to be, you know, my daughter, she's always wanting to come to the gym with me. God bless her. Does my head in because I'm always sort of worried about what she's doing. But at the same time, I'm trying to role model good habits for her. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I went down to, for International Women's Day, I went down to the Deadly Runners there down at Sandgate. And honestly, I took my big boy with me, Kobe, who's, you know, sport mad. I took daughter girl in the pram with me, and my best mate came with her son. And you know, that's just that good role modelling that, you know, I want for my children to see what are good habits and creating good habits for my kids. And my boy ran that whole 5K. With Dr. Anita Heise. He took off because Mum and Auntie Jay were too slow because we had the pram. But Sonny boy took off, you know, and people were, you know, down there, you know, encouraging other mob, and like, there's no judgment, there was no pressure to finish the 5K or the 3K. It was just about getting our people out there and encouraging them to be the best that they can be. And honestly, like, for my son, when I know myself, you know, being active and eating right and doing all those types of things keeps my mental health amazing, sis.
Absolutely.
And you know, that's what I want for my kids. So to see my boy have the resilience to run 5K and not give up, I think he ran about 4.8 and only, you know, 200 metres of walking, was for me, was one of the proudest moments of my life, because at such a young age, at 7, he's already showing that resilience and that you know, strength to want to be, you know, a good person. And you know, there's so many things that, you know, little things that our kids, they're watching you the whole time. And so, you know, BIOC have definitely helped in that way in terms of, you know, wanting, you know, to encourage you to be the best parent that you can be. And that's, you know, what I like to sort of talk about when I do talk about things in terms of BIOC and parenting and being the best parent you can be.
Yeah, I think that era of doing as I say, not as I do is kind of over. You know, and that's kind of the things that I know I heard growing up. But now unless we can see it being done, sometimes it doesn't feel like we can do it. So we're in an era where we're looking for more role models, just even community members day to day. You know, you don't have to be an athlete, you don't have to be the big top boss in anything. It's just, it's all the things on the ground. Our aunties having those open door policies and just, you know, learning how to communicate and how to just share our feelings and being around one another, I think is, it's a huge thing within these programs. So it's deadly to see them up. With the Lancet report and closing the gap, you know, they've shown that 50% decrease in premature birth rates, which is incredible. Yeah. And I love, we always talk about 715 and the health checks and preventative health and what's better than looking after our babies before they're even born.
100%. It's just so important. And that constant communication and messaging and educating, you know, our mums and dads around the benefits of a good pregnancy and, you know, trying to give up the smokes or whatever that type of stuff. You know, the messaging around that is a lot more than what it used to be, you know what I mean? And it's not, and we're doing it to be able to give their babies the best start in life, because that's what every baby coming into this world needs, you know?
Absolutely.
You give them the best start in life and, you know, and as they grow and become little people and then they become adults, you know, you want to set them up for you know, for them to make positive choices and deadly choices, you know?
Absolutely.
And that's where it starts from, you know, when a baby's inside a mum, we want to start getting those, you know, healthy habits and those positive habits, you know, going before they come into this world. And so they come into a world of deadly choices, you know what I mean?
For sure.
It's really, really important, you know. And, you know, I see, you know, kids that are, you know, haven't had the best lives and stuff like that. And it makes me sad because, you know, it's just that you know, intergenerational trauma and their parents not being educated about good things. So it's never going to filter down, you know what I mean, or their grandparents. So, you know, we have now got the opportunity through our deadly programs, including BIOC and Deadly Kindies, you know, to give our babies and our future Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children the best start in life. And, you know, I mean, there are a lot of issues still happening, but there are things that we are doing to put in place to be able to give our babies the best start in life.
And I think the beautiful thing about it is it's mob helping mob. And I think, you know, with Deadly Choices, we pretty much went online last year. Everything kind of turned over to Facebook so we can remain connected. What was 2020 like for you?
You know, without sort of realizing towards the end of the year, obviously being an ambassador and, you know, looking after the partnerships and licenses in the Institute, it sort of, I didn't really get time to sit down and breathe, just because, you know, our community were our number one priority when it came to COVID hitting. So, you know, myself and all the other ambassadors were in here at the office just, you know, pumping out a whole bunch of messaging and, you know, the Queensland government wanting us to make our communities our priority. And that was what we were going to do regardless, you know, when it came to educating our mob about the virus. And I think it wasn't until sort of like September, October, where I sort of could fit, you know, sit down and breathe, because, you know, we had COVID, we had, you know, I had work, you know, that work-life balance really took a toll on me at the end of October, when it came to sitting down and reflecting on 2020. And It was huge. This, like, I think I ended up needing a week off just to breathe, you know, and just to sort of sort my life out in terms of, you know, my children, my family. My dad had a lot of health issues towards the end of last year, and you know, having to go to Darwin and get back there and ensure that he was getting the right care. You know, I think it all sort of came out at Christmas time where I'm just like, I needed a break. Yeah, exactly. And, it was full on for me and my family and my family up home in Darwin, you know, me not being around my mum and dad and you know, that was stressful because I was always, you know, worrying about them because in that age gap of, you know, that they're quite high in terms of...
They're the vulnerable ones, right?
Vulnerable, definitely, sis. And so that was quite stressful, you know, but I really had to sort of knuckle down and concentrate on getting those things, you know, our community came first. And Yeah, it was. You can probably hear it in my voice now.
How I suppose,
you know, demanding and stressful it was at those times. But, you know, like without the support of, you know, I've got some really great support networks here at IU, you know, Adrian and Nathan, and, you know, I had, you know, Kieran and Lace, all just, you know, making sure that we were keeping each other strong and making sure we needed the time off when we needed to. So it was, yeah, it was really, really good when it came to that. But yes, it was big year. So, and it's just, you know, that's what I do. And people are like, well, how do you juggle, you know, kids, work, life, you know? And I said, you just got to do it.
That's just one foot in front of the other, right?
100%. And now it's we're getting back to 2021. It's sort of getting back to a bit more normality, but my life is never normal. People are like, how do you do it? And I said, I just do it.
I think that's mama superpower, that invisible cape that we see. For me, it was. I've always got a trip planned home, and I'm probably sure that you're the same with Darwin. And it was taxing on my mental and emotional, just knowing that I don't know when I'm going home. I don't know where I'm going to see my elders again and my grandparents. And I think the biggest learning for that was just one day at a time. And just to not stress myself out at the future. And 2021, it's funnily enough, it's not regretting anything in the past and just letting it all go. And so, yeah, 2020 and 2021 has been a different year so far. It's exciting to see how important we realized, the whole world realized how much, we weren't appreciating connection and even 100%. That face-to-face connection.
And I think 2020 taught us a lot to live in the moment. You know, be where our feet are.
Yes.
And because we're all thinking down the track, and it actually just stopped us in our tracks a bit to go, hold on, like this is reality, and this is, you know, to live every day and every moment day by day and living in the moment. Like, and even sometimes I still find myself thinking about next week or think, and, you know, like right now I'm thinking about 5 months down the track, where sometimes it's, you know, it's good to sort of just, you know, be where your feet are and live in the moment. I think 2020 really brought the world back down to earth to go, hey, hold up. And environmentally, you look at like what happened, like with, you know, I think there was a whole lot of things like LA, you know, the skies were clear and people were able to see the stars. You know, you look at, you know, in Italy up there in Venice, you know, the beautiful canals, there were, you know, marine life coming back into the canals and things like that. I think we really take it like for granted some of the times, and to be able to see that and to go, holy, this is, you know, like this is what it should be like. I think, you know, people are starting to slow down their way of living now, which is good, which is a good thing, you know, and starting to live in the present moment.
So, yeah, technology has a way of speeding so much up for us. And even though we utilized it last year to stay connected, it's important we put those phones down and just look up and use our own eyes. But, you know, you talked about partnerships and you're all into the partnerships in Deadly Choices. Tell us what you're excited about with the 2021 partnerships.
Oh, look, everything. I'm always excited about, you know, when NRL kicked off last week on Thursday, a Parramatta versus Broncos, it was just, you know, I'm busting for footy every year. I love it. I miss it. You know, it's so amazing. And, you know, we've got some really great partners on board as we did last year. Obviously, you know, our three big ones within the Broncos, especially for Southeast Queensland or Queenslanders in particular, in general, you know, Broncos, Gold Coast Titans and Cowboys. You know, we've also got the Queensland Reds, Queensland Firebirds, Brisbane Lions still on board in the AFL. You know, we've got the Hawks a part of our partnership team. Also Essendon, they're a new partnership that we've partnered with the Tiwi Islands up there in Darwin, up there in the Territory, which is good. You know, I get to get home probably a little bit more often now. You know, we've had a few more licenses come on board as well throughout the rest of Australia. You know, we've also got the Deadly Maroons and Deadly Blues campaigns that'll be happening this year once again, which is always exciting because, you know, all the mob get to get their deadly Deadly Maroons or Deadly Blue shirts. So when they go into their community controlled health service, get their 715. You know, there'll be all the competitions that'll be happening again around those campaigns. So yeah, it's going to be, you know, another big year. We've also got Parramatta on board that have come on quite strongly as well, and also the Sharks who are down there at Cronulla. So yeah, it's a big year, Gold Coast Sun. So we're still going strong, and I'm just excited about all of it. Just, you know, getting all our mob to, getting those positive role models once again around all our mob, especially with our kids throughout all our campaigns. So it's an exciting year. Some big things obviously coming up, you know, and we hope everyone wants to be involved once again with our partnerships and our partners and all the campaigns, which will be, you know, it's already kicked off. Make sure you're online, checking out our Facebook pages, Instagram, all the, campaigns and competitions are definitely coming up. Getting into your community controlled health services, you know, get involved in the competitions because there's some really, really good prizes that are coming up this year.
Absolutely. Now, if you're just tuning in to 98.9, we're on the Deadly Choices show. I'm having a yarn to Bo De La Cruz, one of our awesome ambassadors here. And we've just been talking about BIOC and our partnerships. Mm-hmm. There's so many amazing, wonderful things coming on. Get to your local clinic, get your book in for your 715 health shirt, health check, but you mm-hmm. will get a Deadly Choices shirt out of that. I've seen some really mad designs going around. I'm a cowgirl, so I'm getting my hands on those cowboy jerseys. What's your favourite one, Bo?
Oh, look, if we're going design-wise, I really love the Hawthorn one.
Yes.
And you've probably seen it here in the office. Just like, I love the Hawks one in terms of, especially AFL, you know. I'm always on the AFL bandwagon, being a territory kid. We sort of had no choice. And then my father being in North Queensland, I had no choice to rugby league. So I think with the AFL one, definitely the Hawks. I love that shirt. So if you can get your hands on one of those. And I suppose with the NRL, I really like the Parramatta shirt. So, yeah, that's a really good one. So, yeah, if you can get your hands on those. But always, you know, obviously the Bronx and the Cows and the Titans shirts are really good as well. So, yeah, look, I'd have to say the Hawks one for me for this year would be my favourite.
Yeah, look, I've watched a few games so far and, Cowboys, they stress me out a little bit, but I'm excited to see what the Titans have to offer. Queensland girl through and through, but are you backing this year? Is there any kind of rookies or any players you're looking for?
I mean, obviously with the Queensland teams, you know, the Titans are looking really, really strong at the moment. I've always got a soft spot for all Queensland teams, and I'm always hopeful for our Bronx. Once I think we get a lot of those players back in and Katoni Staggs and Matt Lodge to come back in, I think, it'll put another dynamic to that team. But, obviously the big runners, top front runners for me, obviously with the Roosters are just, playing so well at the moment. Also the Raiders, Melbourne Storm, South, the Bunnies. I'm looking good. It's a hard one this year. I'm not sort of taking much from, it's only round two. So, once we start, there's obviously going to be a lot of injuries that are going to come in. But, the Roosters are looking real good at the moment, obviously, and they always are. But, you just never know. You might see the likes of the Titans come through. They've got a lot of our mob there playing. And obviously Dave Fafita being a bit of a thorn in the side of the Bronx last week. I think Kevin Walters was, bit disappointed. But, it was so good to see Dave, hit his straps this week. I think he was just finding his feet in round one, I definitely think this past round he really hit his straps. And I'm excited, footy's always changing, sister, you know that?
Yes.
And the team's always changing. You get a lot of big upsets. We nearly had an upset with Manly and the Bunnies on the weekend. Thank God the Bunnies come through, because I was I was talking them up too. It's all exciting. I can't wait for the women's, the Southeast with I think it's a BHP.
Yep, statewide comp.
As well, the statewide comp that's coming up. You know, and the one in Sydney's already kicked off. So the women's is looking really, really good here. Got a few pretty good teams here. You know, North Queensland Gold Stars, you know, finally being able to come in. The Capras from Rocky are finally,
Central and
you know,
North
being
footy.
Able to... Central, you know, it's going to be a really good competition. I'll be getting down there to watch you with the, you know, running with the West Brisbane Panthers, my old team.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'm excited. I mean, you know, Princey's there coaching the Valleys, Team Australia, I call them. Patrice went like that.
Yeah.
But, no, it's going to be a really good season of rugby league, men's, women's, intra-Super Cup. You know, it's going to be awesome, so I can't wait.
Yeah, I think the exciting thing is it's grassroots footy is coming back and it's getting built even more stronger this year. And, you know, I think when grassroots footy is alive, there's more hype around the NRL. So it's exciting to see it just from every level. But, Bo, before we let you go, what is your deadly choice right now?
Just my deadly choice always, you know, I love to drink water, but always being around my family is always my deadly choice. You know, having people around me that I like to surround myself around positive people, you know, that are wanting the best for me and my family. So, you know, surrounding myself around positive people would be my deadly choice always. And then if we're talking about, you know, other health-wise, it'd be getting more sleep.
Yes.
Is my deadly choice. So, you know, and with three little pickaninnies, that's pretty hard, but we'll get there eventually, sis.
All right, well, thank you for coming on and having a yarn to me today. All right, you mob, thanks for tuning in to the Deadly Choices radio show tonight. And remember to be involved in any of the Deadly Choices activities throughout the year. You must be up to date with your 715 health check. You know, we've talked about it heaps on the show today. It's so important that we think about our health before we're in pain, and preventative health and that holistic care is so important in what we do here at Deadly Choices. Plus, you've got a brand new 2021 shirts that are out in clinics. So, yeah, call your local clinic and book in a test. You can find where your local clinic is on our website, www.deadlychoices.com, for more information. Plus, tune into our Deadly Choices Facebook page for our weekly lives. There's Pearls of Wisdom with Steve Renoff having a yarn there about all things footy. We have Good Quick Tucker for some deadly recipes. We have Deadly Kindies to keep our jarjums active, and DC Fit, and so much more on there. So go check it out. Lastly, we've talked about our respiratory testing clinics in Southeast Queensland. They're still open. And if you're experiencing any COVID-19 symptoms, no matter how mild, call your clinic, get a test booked in. And again, you can find your closest clinic at www.deadlychoices.com.au. But thank you for tuning in this tonight. And you can catch us next Wednesday at 6 p.m. Same time, same place. So keep making those deadly choices, you mob.
Deadly Choices Radio. A show encouraging mob to make healthy choices, from stop smoking, eating good food, exercising daily, and getting a health check for themselves and their family. Featuring Deadly Choices ambassadors, the Healthy Lifestyle Mob, and many more. So tune in to Deadly Choices after 6 p.m. each Wednesday and on demand at 989fm.com.au.
This Deadly Choices radio podcast is sponsored by Deadly Choices. A deadly choice is a healthy choice.